the divine souls. In this series of speeches, I'm going to be explaining the Bhakti Shatak. Bhakti means devotion, and Shatak means 100 of something. In this case, 100 dohe, 100 couplets, written in simple Hindi by Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, explaining about bhakti. Before I get started explaining the individual dohas, let me give you a little bit of context. What is Bhakti Shatak? Why would I take a whole series of lectures to explain this? Shri Kripaluji Maharaj is one of only 5 Adi Jagatguru, and this is one of his writings. All 5 of the Jagatgurus wrote explanations of the main prime Hindu scriptures. Shri Maharaj was the first one to actually make those explanations available to the common people directly by making it in the local common language. The first Adi Jagatguru was Jagatguru Shankaracharya. After him came Jagatguru Ramanujacharya. After him came before Ramanujacharya ji was Nimbarkacharya, then Ramanujacharya, then Madhvacharya, and then our Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. A Jagatguru receives the title of Jagatguru by unanimous decision of all the elite scholars of India at that time. So at the time of Shankaracharya, it was 2,500 years ago. Then Nimbarkacharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and Kripaluji Maharaj became Jagatguru in 1957. So we always have Sanskrit scholars, great Sanskrit scholars in India, who are the experts on Sanskrit language, grammar, interpretation of our Sanskrit scriptures, the Vedas, Upanishads, Gita, Brahma Sutra, Puranas, etc., etc. So when such a great saint comes along who unifies all of the existing elite scholars of that time, that individual receives the title of Jagatguru. It means that all the prime scholars of that time have to agree with the explanation that that Jagatguru, that saint is giving of our prime scriptures. So we have actually many scriptures, but there are 3 main categories of scripture that are given as proof. They're quoted as evidence when establishing the truth of any spiritual principle. So it's called Shruti Prasthan. That means the Vedas and Upanishads. So if someone wants to say something that this is like this, they can't just say it pulling it out of the air. They have to give evidence from one of our divine scriptures. So the first type of evidence is Shruti Prasthan, which means giving quotations from the Upanishads. The next is Smriti Prasthan, which means giving evidence from Gita. And Puranas also come in this category. And the third category of evidence is Nyaya Prasthan, which means giving evidence from our Darshan Shastras, and in particular, the culminating volume of the 6 Darshan Shastras, the Brahma Sutra or the Vedanta. So these are the 3 types of scriptural evidences that are given. Shruti Prasthan, Smriti Prasthan, Nyaya Prasthan. Or you can say, quoting from Upanishads, quoting from Gita, quoting from Brahma Sutra. So, beginning with Shankaracharya, when he gave his explanation of all, you can say, when in Hinduism, when we explain something, we're explaining everything. So when Shankaracharya explained what is the world, what is God, who are we, what are souls, in other words, when he explained Brahma, Jeev, Maya, his way of explaining that was called the Advaitvad. And in establishing that theory of monism means total oneness of God, souls, and Maya. In establishing that, he wrote some books. He wrote what we call bhashyas, explanations of Upanishads, Gita, and Brahma Sutra. And based on that, he also went around and debated against all the prime scholars of that time. And having convinced them of his way of explaining things, they all accepted him. So then he received the title of Jagadguru. The same thing happened with Nimbarkacharya when he was named Jagadguru. His philosophy or his way of explaining things was called Dvaitadvaitvad. Vad means, and you would say ism in English, or a way of explaining something. So Dvait plus Advait, Dvaitadvaitvad. So Dvait means duality, and Advait means total oneness. So Shankaracharya explained things from one perspective, saying that, well, God, souls, and Maya are not separate. They're all one. Bas, Advait. Advait means not two, one. Nimbarkacharya said, Dvaitadvait. Well, there's difference, but there's also oneness. Then Ramanujacharya said, Vishishtadvaitvad, which is another way of explaining the same thing, saying that, well, souls and Maya exist as powers, but they're God's powers, so they're also not separate from him. So it's Advait, but with a special distinction and designation for souls and Maya. Then Madhvacharya said Dvait, whereas Shankaracharya had stressed on the oneness aspect of souls, Maya, and God. Madhvacharya stressed on the duality. He said, no, there's a definite distinction. Souls are not God. They have their own free will. They have their own distinct personality. And Maya is also distinct. Then Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj came. He didn't write a long Sanskrit bhashya like the previous Jagadgurus had. Although when he became Jagadguru, he did so through Sanskrit speeches. At that time, when he was named Jagadguru or offered the title of Jagadguru in 1957, it was at the culmination of a 10-day series of Sanskrit lectures that he was giving where he had been invited to the Kashi Vidwat Parishad, which was at that time the topmost body of Sanskrit scholars in India. So all the best scholars belonged to this society of scholars, you could say. There were over 500 of them. They were, you could say, the deciders. Meaning, if they accept someone, then it means you're a great scholar. But they didn't accept someone very easily. So although Shri Kripaluji Maharaj was only in his early 30s at this time, he was 34, which in itself is amazing that he would be even considered by that great Kashi Vidwat Parishad. These are all scholars in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who have been studying in their specific area of expertise for their whole life. So none of those scholars was expert in all the different scriptures. Each one had their specific area of expertise. But if you put all of them together, you have an amazing amount of knowledge. So to go in front of them and speak, that would be kind of a frightening thing for anyone to try to do, because they're basically trying to test you. They're trying to see, okay, ये कहां गलती करेगा. Where is he going to say something wrong? Where is he going to say something that I don't agree with? And this was in fact why they had invited Sri Maharaj-ji to Kashi Vidwat Parishad. Some of their members had in fact heard Sri Maharaj-ji speak at some other Sant Sammelans, and they were so impressed they came back telling all the other scholars of Kashi Vidwat Parishad, oh, Kripaluji Maharaj, Kripaluji Maharaj. And they say, hey, kone hai Kripaluji Maharaj? We never heard of him. And he's so young, he's in his early 30s. Bulao unko. So they called him like a challenge. Come to Kashi and give us a lecture. So Sri Maharaj ji went there in Kashi Vidwat Parishad. And on the first day, nobody knew what to expect, but there were over 500 scholars from around India gathered there. And when Sri Maharaj ji began speaking, he started speaking in Sanskrit. They were probably just expecting him to speak in Hindi, but he started speaking in Sanskrit. But still, some of them were thinking, oh, okay, it's Sanskrit, but it's like very simple Sanskrit, like Gita style Sanskrit. No big deal. Hindi se milti julti hai. But this was a 2-hour lecture. Partway through, he switched to a little bit more complex Sanskrit, like you would see in Bhagavatam or Puranas, like poetic Sanskrit. So then they were saying, okay, yeah, this guy, we're impressed. Then towards the end, he switched to Vedic Sanskrit, which was over the head of many of those Sanskrit scholars. It was more advanced than some of them could even understand. So even from the very first day, they were all very impressed by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. Now, Sri Maharaj-ji was explaining the same things that had been explained by the previous Jagat Gurus. But the speciality of what he was doing is he didn't introduce a new vad. He said, that's not needed. What's needed is to reconcile all the previous vad. Because people think that, well, what Shankaracharya said is different than what Nimbarkacharya said, and that differs from Ramanujacharya, and Madhvacharya has his own philosophy. In addition to that, within each of the various scriptures, whether it be Vedas or Gita, or so from Vedas to Gita to Puranas to Vedant, you can find many contradictions. And even within one single scripture, you can find many contradictions. So Sri Maharaj-ji wanted to reconcile all of that. That no, there's no contradictions between what the past Jagat Gurus have said. There's no contradictions in any of the scriptures. Why are there so many paths? He wanted to explain that, you know, there's no confusion in the paths. It's all very clear. What is the path you have to follow to attain God? Why are there so many different forms of God? There is so much confusion about that. So he wanted to reconcile all of this into one unified explanation that everybody could benefit from, not just those scholars, but that common people would be able to benefit from, apply and gain benefit from in their life. Although this series of speeches was not for common people because it was in Sanskrit, but the same philosophy that he put forth is now being followed through his books and the speeches that he's given in Hindi over the years. So at the end of the 10 days, all of these scholars were amazed. And none of them were willing to challenge him even on one single point. That's how overwhelmed they were with the volume of scriptural evidence that he was giving for each and every point that he made. He would quote and back everything up with so many quotations from so many different scriptures. He made one point and he'd say, okay, he'd give 10 quotations from 10 different Upanishads. Then he'd give 5 quotations from Brahma Sutra and 5 more from Gita and 5 more from Bhagavatam and throw in 10 more from Ramayana just for good measure, just to prove one point. And then he'd go on to the next point. So at the end of the first day even, Sri Maharaj Ji, according to tradition, this was supposed to be like a debate, that he presents his theory, and then there's 500 scholars there. These are the greatest Sanskrit scholars on earth. Surely they've got some pride. They want to, say, no, this point is not right. See, I know this thing from this scripture, and that contradicts what you said here. Normally that's what would happen. So on the very first night, after he was done speaking, he said, okay, does anyone have anything they want to bring up? Anyone want to challenge me or debate on anything? Silence. Second day, same thing. Third day, same thing. All the way through. So after the whole series of speeches, on the very last day, those scholars called a meeting amongst each other. And they said, if none of us is willing to challenge him even on a single point, then according to our tradition, we have to offer him the title of Jagadguru. So they unanimously decided to do that. They offered him the title of Jagadguru on the last day, but they actually offered him the title of Jagadguru Tam, Uttam, they added to it, meaning the supreme Jagadguru. Why? Because he didn't, on the same level as the other Jagadgurus, add a fifth vad. No, he honored all of their explanations, but he showed how they're all correct, that you don't have to choose just one. They're all correct, but explaining from different facets. Now, this was in 1957. After that time, after becoming Jagadguru, then Sri Maharaj Ji systematically spread this way of understanding our scriptures and all the teachings of our great saints. He spread that all over India by traveling. He traveled for a couple of decades, continuously giving 1 week or 2 week or 3 week long speeches in different cities around India. And he also wrote a few books to help people understand. One of them is Prem Ras Siddhant, which encapsulates his whole theory. And one of them is the Bhakti Shatak. So this is the Bhakti Shatak. Not only the 100 Dohe, but actually Sri Maharaj's own Vyakhya is in here. So this is in Hindi. So he's written 1 to 4 pages of explanation for each and every doha. It's quite technical in places, because you could say actually this is his bhashya on prasthan trayi, the three types of evidence I told you, Upanishads, Gita, Brahma Sutra. Maharaj never wrote any Sanskrit long explanation. He kept it all simple. But he did write this Bhakti Shatak, which is a very concise bhashya of the Upanishads, Gita, Brahma Sutra. Plus, for good measure, he added the philosophy of the Bhagavatam towards the end as well. So he added some more devotional quality to it. So this Bhakti Shatak, you can say, is Maharaj's, it's like a gem. It's like a gift to the devotees. He says, here's my bhashya on Prasthan Trayi. And instead of writing a big, thick bhashya in difficult Sanskrit, I wrote a nice, concise, beautiful 100 couplets in simple Hindi that all the devotees can understand and enjoy. So this is what we're going to study over the next few days. This is what I'm going to explain. And what we'll be doing is singing one line, singing one couplet, and then I'll explain a little bit, and then we'll sing the next one, and we'll go on like that. And although we may not make it all the way through the 100 in this particular series, wherever I finish, we'll start up again further ahead in the future. So please open your Bhakti Shatak to Doha number 1, Advitiya Ika Tattva Hai.